The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles
in your soul.
Soul of Jefferson.
Soul of Jefferson from Mama J.
Here I am.
How you doing, Mama J?
I'm doing very well.
All right. I'm here with Janet Chandler. This is Terry Raposa. We're broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading. We are streaming live on KCNR1460.com. KCNR1460.com. We are your talk radio. We're also broadcasting on 96.5 FM, which the music does sound better on. And 1460 AM, and we are your talk radio again today. If you have a question or a comment, call in to 530-605-4567, 605-4567. And Jimmy, if you're listening, you voicemailed me yesterday, and for some reason I lost it. Maybe you can pick a spot on the radio program today and call in what you were, the information you have on Gavin Grusom. We were supposed to have Pastor Che on today, and he canceled last night. Now, needless to say, I wasn't very happy about it, but I did get a call from his campaign manager this morning and several calls last night, and I understand the reasoning of him going to the three services at Bethel. First of all, Bill Johnson's his best friend, and I understand that. But apparently what had happened is that Pastor Che has two different secretaries because he's a minister and he has a campaign. And apparently there's a secretary who handles his campaign and the secretary that handles his schedule for his ministries. And those kind of got mixed up. And I guess that on the ministry side, he had already been committed to going to Bethel to do all four services today. And, you know, we did town hall yesterday, maybe some would say even a rally yesterday, that Janet and I were at. She's going to be commenting on what she heard there in a moment. But, I understand that. It's just that, I mean, I guess if I'm having dinner with Bill Johnson, I mean, this would just be my thought process. And I'm sure that at that point, you know, this was last night about 6:30. Apparently they were having dinner, 6 o'clock, whatever. And this is where the whole transition came of Pastor Che realizing and finding out that he had to do all the services. That's what his secretary had committed for him to preach at. And, you know, if I'm Bill Johnson, I might have said, you know, you've already got a commitment here with, to be on the radio, and that could do you some good because there may be people that would hear you that maybe wouldn't hear you as far as, you know, here in the church, because that's sort of preaching to the choir on you wanting to run. And I'm not, this isn't a discount of any kind or anything, to Pastor Che. I think he's a good man. I think that there's, you know, and, I can see where there can be some confusion. I would just probably, I don't know, I would kind of, just say, well, you made a commitment there, and it was the SCRA sent out an email that basically expressed that Pastor Che would be on here. We were going to give him the whole hour, and he could take this archive and use it wherever he wanted, which hopefully would be helpful. But anyway, you know, all's forgiven, all's okay there. It's just a matter of there's going to have to be some kind of balance between what Pastor Che does in his ministry and what he does as governor. So hopefully maybe he'll get the secretaries of both the campaign and the ministry together on the same page. Anyway, with that, Janet was at the event yesterday. I came in a little late, but I guess it really wasn't late. I got there about 1:30. So tell us what happened at the beginning. Give us your take on that and some of your observations.
Cheon is a very faith-driven, faith-based man. He seems to be extremely sincere in his beliefs that California needs faith-based leadership. Absolutely no argument there. We could always use more of that. California is corrupt. California is sinking in a mire of its own greed and its own mal-government. And so I was very interested in what Pastor An had to say. I heard a lot of enthusiasm from his audience. He was preaching to the choir. I don't think there were a lot of people there who were new to Pastor. I did not hear a lot of structure.
Did they give him a standing ovation or something when he first came in? What happened?
Yes. When he was introduced and stood up before the crowd, he received a standing ovation. I don't stand for people because they are there. I stand for people because of what they do. So apparently they knew more about what he does than I did. Nothing wrong with a standing ovation, but my standing ovations are hard-earned, and I do not give them. There have been many times when I have sat while others around me stood, not to say anything against him, but it was just a matter of he was there among friendlies, and that's fine, but you don't win a governorship surrounded by friendlies. You have to be willing to face the hard questions. He has very plainly said that he was called by his God, by divine rule, to run in this campaign. And so it is very religiously oriented. And again, not a problem there. Even President Trump has said that God has had an influence in his presidency. And we certainly can have that in our government. Please remember that our Constitution and the First Amendment with the freedom of religion does not keep religion out of government. It keeps government out of religion. So do not think that because a man is basing his campaign on his beliefs and his religious following that it is somehow bad. It is not. So, what is Cheon there for? What is he going to do? What are his goals? Well, number one, he's going to champion small business and innovation. He is going to protect our children's minds and futures. He's going to defend and strengthen the family. He is going to restore integrity to public projects. He is going to renew the American spirit of unity. And he's going to lower regulations and taxes. And that is from a poster that was in front of the group yesterday. So I'm taking those words right from Cheon. He also says that California is ready for a leader who will listen, serve, and bring people together around common sense solutions. And therein lies my difficulty. I never heard the solutions.
I know that some of the things he did talk about it, and I talked to his campaign manager about this. I mean, I'm thrilled that a man of God is wanting to actually put God back in the government. I mean, I think everyone's thrilled about that.
No debate.
Right. And the point is there's no question about the integrity. The point is that when you start to make promises on things you don't have jurisdiction over, because you don't have jurisdiction. He has executive powers. I mean, we'll talk about the state of emergency. I want you to remind me about that a little later on. You probably have something for that. But I mean, you know, he doesn't have Article II powers that the president does. An executive order of a state of emergency is different in a state, and we'll explain that a little bit later. The point is that there were many things he talked about. He talked about housing. He talked about a lot of these different things. He talked about how he was going to cancel this and cancel that. And I get that. And I want that. We all want that. But, you know, he can't do this like President Trump. You can't. President Trump at this point arguably is running the country on executive orders. And, you know, even though and those things do have some validity to them, they're not law, but they have validity to them, and you got to follow the rules till somebody says you can't or you shouldn't. But I think the point is that we have to start looking at really what affects. If you're going to make promises, you better back it up with fact and constitutional confidence that you can do this. And that's one of the problems, Janet, was that, you know, and a lot of the things I heard, again, I want all those things. I think the man's wonderful. But, I mean, I want to be 29 years old with a 30-inch waist, but that isn't going to happen.
California is bad. Oh, it is so bad. It is really bad.
Did it really
say
bad?
It's bad? Yeah.
Did you say that? It was bad?
And I have heard this same thing from Chad Bianco. I have heard him speak. I've heard the same thing from Steve Hilton. Everybody agrees, except for the Democrats. California is bad. Oh, it is so bad. And this is what needs to happen. We need to do this, and this needs to change, and this needs to change, and this needs to be done better. Yeah, granted. We all agree. So, and now what? And I have not heard from any of the candidates how they specifically plan to make a difference.
You know, actually, Steve Hilton does have a policy tab on his website. He does talk about, and Pastor Chan did talk about that a little bit yesterday, how he would go in and fire some of these people.
He said we need to restore the Holy Spirit and righteousness in government, and his goal is to hire 3,000 people in Sacramento who are righteous. Well, hire them to do what?
Yeah, I was kind of wondering that myself.
Where are you going to find these 3,000 people?
Well, he might have meant that that's the number of staff in California.
I have no idea.
Maybe agencies?
You don't just fire the bureaucracy and bring in 3,000 people of your choosing. Again, sounds so good. But, you know, let's burst the bubble. Let's get down to earth. The helium balloon has released us, and we're now standing on concrete. What does that mean? I'm going to hire 3,000 people who are righteous. I'm not quite sure of the specifics. Again, I heard enthusiasm, but I did not hear structure. And I'm all about structure.
Well, I think the thing is you have to have, you know, what's your jurisdiction? How can you interpose on the jurisdiction that you're basically the authority of? And how do you nullify something that's bad law or something else? And I asked him about that. I mean, if you go to committee on a bill in California, at this point, you're going to have 8 Democrats and 3 Republicans. By the way, I do want to say that we didn't take any calls there at the very beginning. I wanted Janet to get started, but we will take them now. 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567. Anyway, that was the main thing. And if you hire 3,000 people, those people are all going to take an oath to the Constitution and the Constitution of California. So when you hire those people, they should know what's in it. You know, and I know that Pastor Jay had not read the California Constitution yet.
Well, he's not alone.
He's not alone. Yeah. But, you know, he took an oath to it. So it's kind of like, well, I'm going to talk about what we can do in California, about the California Constitution. It's kind of like doing a sermon without ever reading the Bible. You've got to understand that you have to understand what your jurisdiction is. What do you actually have power over, and what exactly can you do? And you have some points to that point.
Well, he talked about the budget, and he said that California is $20 million in debt. I'm not quite sure that figure is high enough. I think we're more in debt than that. But, you know, whatever. We're millions of dollars in debt. And he wants to doge every department and hold people accountable and fire those and get rid of corruption. Great. Perfect. Is it doable? Can he fire people? Where does our supermajority state legislature stand on all of this? He did bring up a good point with the economy. What we need to do is drill for oil in Kern County. Yeah, there's a town in Kern County called, is it Oildale? There's a reason for that name. because crude oil and the production of it in California is going to bring down costs and prices. It's great. And he also was advocating nuclear energy. Perfect. But as governor, are these within his authority?
That's the rub. Steve, what say you?
Yeah, I heard Chad up here, Chad Bianca, and he has a proven track record of saving his sheriff department down there in Riverside over, what was it, $1.some million or something like that, over a four-year period or something. He's had a proven record of getting rid of the waste. And my point being is that, you know, and I missed this Chan guy. He was up here in Siskiyou County, and I missed it, damn it. Only thing I wanted to say to him is that you need to back off and back the strongest candidate. We've got too many Republican candidates running, and we need to, you know, get them to, we have one or two. And
yeah, that's a good point, Steve. You know, we have, you're right, that's a good point. 15 running, 15.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, yeah. And we're going to lose it because it's going to split the votes all over the place. Right. So we really have to talk to people and candidates, back off, and support the strongest candidate, and that, to me, would be Bianca at this point. I'm not going to vote for some English guy that's been here 14 years, no matter what he has to say. Wait your turn, be here another 20, 30 years, you're young enough, hang out. But Bianca is a proven person. The other thing, I have a question for Janet. I was talking to a fairly influential person down there in Reading the other day, and I was trying to express about the split state, the initiative, and she said that it would never get past the legislation. And I think you guys have spoke to that. Can you speak to that again, Janet?
Well, we can, and Janet, if you want to speak to that, but we kind of want to stay on the subject we were, but go ahead, Janet.
Yeah, very quickly on that one. Yeah.
I agree, yeah.
If you go to californiastatesplit.com, we have our initiative proposed on that website, and it shows how it can be done by forcing the state legislature to approve the state split, and it's done by an initiative vote of the people. And go read it, see how we have addressed that issue, because, of course, it is a problem. It does not solve the problem of approval from the federal Congress, but it does address the problem with the state state legislature.
And the website is californiastatesplit.com, californiastatesplit.com. Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's a good point. Now, Sheriff Bianco, when Kim Yeater did her recent California governor, what was it, showdown, that's what it was called, and 14 of the 15 came, Chad Bianco didn't come. Apparently, he took a knee where he shouldn't have. I want to say it was Black Lives Matter.
I forget.
But anyway, a lot of people didn't like it, especially a lot of the people that are of the Christian faith. The evangelicals especially didn't really like what he did. Apparently some of it. See, the thing is that I have trouble with is every law enforcement officer that was a career law enforcement officer, that ever, ran for any office, really looks at things as a pecking order. And the law is the law, even if the law is wrong. If the law is unconstitutional, the law is the law. I briefly met Sheriff Bianco when I was down in Riverside County, doing some town halls down there a couple of years ago. And people think very highly of him. I mean, he's a good sheriff. It's just, to me, I'd like to see somebody really from the private sector run for office because they've understood how the world works. And I think a lot of people that are just either in government their whole life or in the arena of politics their whole life or work for the state or work for the government, I don't think they make very good statesmen. In fact, I'd have a hard time voting for any of them.
Law enforcement people are not generally flexible.
Not at all.
It just kind of goes with the territory.
Yeah. In fact, Sheriff Bianco didn't show up at that. And, rumor has it, or at least from a couple of pretty good sources, that he didn't like the way he was interviewed the first time by Kim Yeater because she kind of called him out on the carpet. And I think sometimes law enforcement has a long memory that way.
I lived with a law enforcement officer for decades, and I can't say that one of his strong points was flexibility.
There you have it.
Loved him dearly, but not flexible. As far as the governor race goes, we have, I don't know, 15, 16 Republican candidates. Yeah. I don't even know who's running on the Democrat side. I've heard some names. Katie Porter, of course. I don't know where she stands now with her debacle with her mouth. But this is the time for all of those Republican candidates to express their ideas, to get out there and say what they want. We all know what's wrong with California. How are you going to solve it?
Right.
And then, please, Republican Party in California, stop shooting yourself in the foot. Stop doing self-strangulation. Get together with all the candidates, hash it out, decide which one or two have the best chance of winning, and then everybody else drop out and endorse the top two. Because in California, we have the top two winners go on the ballot. And if that's two Democrats, then we will have our choice between two Democrats. It's not guaranteed that there will be a Republican on the ticket.
Yeah, you know, and that's 100% right. And, you know, the thing is that, and that was a discussion I actually had with Kim Yeater. We were talking about that. The problem is, well, we're going to try to get everybody behind one person. We need to have a meeting to get everybody behind one person. Well, here's the problem with that. They have campaigns. They have egos.
Egos.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, that's the deal. You know, and so a lot of this stuff, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, when you look at the jurisdiction, when you look at any kind of bill or any kind of measure, whenever a gubernatorial candidate promises they're going to have a measure to offset it, Pastor Chen was talking about how he wants to have, or Jay, I don't know why I keep calling him Jim. Sorry about that. But, Pastor Jay, did say that he wanted to put forth a measure. Well, okay, but you gotta have legislative approval to do that. Maybe throw it out there on an article. You could go Article 18, Section 3, and have an initiative that's instituted and put together by the electorate, by the people. But then, who pays for it?
I was listening to the pastor, I kept asking myself, how?
Yeah.
How are you going to do this? Sounds great. How? And there were three specific areas where I kept asking how. He said that he was going to solve the homeless, or at least address the homeless problem, in a couple of ways. One was by building 500,000 houses per year. How? How are you going to build 500,000 houses per year? Who's going to finance them? Who's going to buy them? And then he said that that would bring the prices down on houses.
Well, I'm not sure. I didn't quite read it that way. I kind of thought that he was just talking about working families and affordability of homes. I still have the same question of how you're going to do that, but I think that's what he was talking about. What he talked about with the homeless is he did talk about at one point putting forth a state of emergency. Well, a state of emergency in California is a state of emergency that you have when all your resources in your county are overwhelmed. What was that?
He's still on the line.
Oh,
okay.
Well, fix that anyway. So, when you have a state of emergency, in 60 days, you still have to go. You have to go back and revisit it. 60 or 90 days.
It isn't a panacea.
Yeah, it isn't. It isn't an Article 2. Okay, so you know, and you have to have a reason to declare the state of emergency. If the counties don't feel they're overwhelmed, then they're not overwhelmed. But that's the only time you can do it is when the county resources and city, all the resources are exhausted, and you need to have and at this point, I don't know if any county is going to say, everything's exhausted already. You know, we don't know if we need a state of emergency. And then again, you've got to have them agree to that. I think maybe you don't, but the point is you have to have validity to doing that.
Frankly, if you did not listen to Kevin Cry this morning, go back and listen to his show. He was talking to someone who was looking for a $2 million loan to go with an $18 million grant from the state of California directly to address homeless on the streets. And the idea was put forth that these people are druggies. That's why you're homeless and living in a tent on the street. You're a druggie.
So, 82%.
Yeah, this program was to address the drug issue, mm-hmm. which is what you have to do. Let's mm-hmm. face it, folks, we don't have dad and mom and two kids living on the street because dad lost his job. There's drug use involved.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a possible homeless solution. But building houses, we
yeah.
can't even replace houses that have been burned in fires. How can we build 500,000 new houses a year?
It sounds good.
Where are you going to put them?
But it sounds good.
Exactly. Another real problem that I had with one of his suggestions was that he wanted to turn over treatment centers to faith-based nonprofit organizations rather than the government. But then he turned right around and said that the government was going to fund the faith-based nonprofit organizations.
Yeah, how does that work?
Well, why yeah. stick a middleman in there to right. drain off part of the funds? If you're going to fund it, just fund it through the government and not waste the middleman money.
Well, I think a lot of it is, too. I mean, I think that, at least from the conversation I had this morning, I believe that Pastor Che, is willing to look for help and to do the right things. So this isn't a program that we're trying to say the guy isn't trying to do the right thing, because he is trying to do the right thing, 1,000,000,000%. And is he a good man? No question. Is he a man of God? No question. The point is he's going to have to get some tutelage, because he doesn't understand really how it works, and the tutelage he's gotten so far has not been good. I think a lot of this may have to do on his popularity, as we saw yesterday, and his sphere of influence. His sphere of influence is huge. He's got 72 churches, you know. I mean, he's going to go to Bethel today and probably talk to, 5,000 people? He's going to talk to a lot of people today and preach to a lot of people today. So the sphere of influence is really huge. But that sphere of influence is a drop in the bucket compared to what he's going to need to win a gubernatorial race, number one. And number two, you have to have the knowledge. You can't, no matter what you're like integrity-wise or what you want, you can't keep throwing things out there that is on the record that you have no jurisdiction over, because then you sound like the other guys who just come out there and just have platitudes. Oh, I really want this. I really want that. We hate this. We hate that. And as you said, Janet, California's bad. It's really bad. Did I say it was bad? It's really bad. We can't keep going down that same road. And that's, I think, and again, I think that Pastor Che is willing to learn and grow. It's a matter of, while you don't know anything, don't say anything. Unless you know it, don't say it. Yes?
I keep looking at what all of these candidates are saying.
Yeah.
It's something we already know.
Yeah.
We already know what the solutions are. Yes, we need to end homelessness. We need to treat the druggies because they're the homeless ones. We need more housing. People don't have enough housing. But we have to go back to the core. And the question that I keep asking myself, is it really fixable? By anybody,
exactly.
By any legislature,
exactly,
by
correct.
Any governor, is California fixable?
You're right, and then we go back. And then one of the things I did ask him yesterday during the Q&A was that James Gallagher, again, who's the top Republican in the state, arguably in the assembly for sure, is advocating state flip because there's no other way to create representation in California.
Well, he did say that he would support a measure to increase the number of assemblymen and senators. Great. So what are we going to have, a 16,000-person assembly?
Pretty much, for 40 million.
It's not workable.
Right. So I think the thing is that, again, that just and the other part of that, too, is that I know that he also said he had a plan on immigration. Okay, well, immigration isn't in the jurisdiction of the state.
Well, if by a plan he means he's not going to fund illegal immigrants' housing and college and food stamps and whatever, if that's what he means, that's fine.
Yep.
But it still has to go through the legislature.
You think?
And we've got a supermajority legislature.
You think? Okay.
Yeah.
So again, it's, and the other thing is too, is that when you talk about the Spanish vote, he said something yesterday that apparently at one of the sessions, one of the services that are going to be at Bethel today, he has the solution to bring the Spanish vote over. Now, I remember about and bring the Spanish evangelicals. And again, you know, there is a lot of people, it's probably 80% of the state claims they're Christian. evangelical Christians. There's, I mean, a Mormon could say he's a Christian. Catholics say they're Christians. I'm not saying that they aren't. I'm just saying that there's a lot of different denominations. I mean, in this town we have Bethel Church, which is a mega church. I mean, they have a lot of control in Reading. And Pastor Che is, he's not going to Bethel. His best friend is the pastor of Bethel. So,
just because you are Christian doesn't mean you are evangelical.
Well, it also doesn't mean you're going to be honest all the time. You know, and so, Anthony Tramino, who ran for governor a few years back, his claim to fame was that he was one of the leaders in the Hispanic group of people that were engaged in government and everywhere. And I remember that, and we talked about it, and I don't know how far, excuse me, I don't know how far down the totem pole he was, but I know he got creamed. I don't really know if you're going to win on a position of taking just one group and singling them out. And that's never going to work.
The population of California is not a church congregation. And you don't win by preaching to the choir, to within your bubble. And you have to spread as sincere and faith-based as you are, and that's not bad. You have to spread and talk to the people who are not part of your congregation, who do not necessarily believe in everything being faith-based. And I know that he believes that God has called him for this ministry. But you have to talk to people other than those who will give you a standing ovation just for showing up. Some of his ideas are great. They sound good. But again, there's a how at the end of them. He wants to get rid of woke ideology. Fine.
How?
He is anti-CEQA for land use and housing. Great. How are you going to do that? He's talking about water problem with, I think, desalinization. But I'm not sure in California if we actually need that. It's more a matter of water management and usage.
Look at Sacks Reservoir.
Yeah, he's a voting holiday, one-day voting. Yes, but that goes back to the federal constitution.
Right, and I want to go back to that, but I do want to take Jimmy. And
okay.
We're going to have to do a quick break. Jimmy, you gone? Jimmy, you're gone. Okay, we're going to take a break, and Jimmy, if you're listening, right after the break, come on. We're going to take a break right now because we forgot it, and our producer is very, very astute. Time's come.
For 51, let's get it done.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Reading Garden of Lights, open November 21st through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay in Reading, California. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights, plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, and more. New for 2025, upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express, adorned with festive lights and wintry displays. Reading Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Reading. Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
Cold and flu season is here. At Orchard Nutrition Center, we understand every mom wants the best for her children. That's why our wellness department is stocked with trusted supplements to support your kids' health all year long. Build a strong foundation with multivitamin chewables and gummies, perfect for everyday wellness and immune support, and omega-3 gummies that boost brain development and keep their immune system resilient. Natural support to help them stay strong through every season. Because at Orchard Nutrition Center, we believe healthy kids make happy homes.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Lou. Sally Lou. All right, she's good at this.
She's a master at this.
She is a master at this. She's sitting there having her coffee, giggling right now. I see you giggling, turkey lips. Jimmy, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. I live in America and I got a job.
Anyway, you had something you left me a message on, and for some reason I lost that voicemail, and I'm glad you heard me at the beginning of the program. So run that by me again.
Let me first start off by saying, was that Bob Dylan, the original?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to tell everybody out there that the Guns N' Roses version is the worst ever remake of a song out there besides Metallica, Tuesday's Gone. But anyway, moving on. Have you guys heard about Newsom's former chief of staff, Dana Williamson, being charged on corruption charges?
Yes, stealing funds from, was it Becerra?
And Javier Becerra's Sean McCluskey. I seen this on KTLA, and they're under the gun. And, you know, these people were, you know, pretty instrumental in these Newsom's and Becerra's team. So you got to wonder, you know, how corrupt is the rest of the system?
I don't have to wonder.
I know. I was seeing that. I was like, oh, my gosh.
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, you have to have real solutions, and that's the reality of it. And Janet was going to be talking about, voting, same day voting, all that sort of stuff. Yes, it is within the jurisdiction of the governor to put that forward, but again, legislation has to pass it, or we have to have an initiative out there, a la, you know, Carl DeMaio. But here's the real deal. Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution, we are able to have the Congress, it's Article 1, Section 4, we can have, the Congress can change anything as far as regulations go that the states put forward, because times, places, and manner of elections are under the jurisdiction of the legislature of the state. But Congress may change these regulations, you know, basically for the common good. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what Article 1, Section 4 says.
Well, Congress sets the time and the date
and they passed all the laws. There's all the
Senate,
voter laws
the House,
are there.
Yeah.
I mean, clean the voter rolls, you go to Congress. When we asked Doug LaMalfa, Janet and I both asked, and when we asked Doug LaMalfa, when we had him on, how come you guys just don't put this forward? We can have same-day voting, get rid of the machines. We can have paper ballots, yada, yada, yada. We can do all that stuff. You guys could do it. Why don't you do it? With the Republican majority. And he said, well, because we can't get the votes. So I said, you mean the Republicans, are a lot of them are voting with the Democrats? He said, yep, sometimes. That's the deal. We've got all
okay,
this.
Okay, so I was under the impression that these people committed financial corruption.
They did.
Yes.
They did. But I wanted to throw that in there because we were getting to that point, and we were wanted to bring that up. And she had some points that Che Anon had as far as that particular subject goes that he wanted to send
in. But as far as the financial corruption goes, who is surprised?
Yeah.
Right. Well, shocker. What I'd like to know is, did Gavin Newsom or Javier Becerra have an inkling of what I mean?
Does the term kickback mean anything? I will believe everything.
Hunter and Joe Biden about that.
My standard phrase is, if you expect me to believe that Joe Biden was elected president in 2020, then I will believe anything you tell me.
And then something else I'd like to ask you guys about, get your comments on, and I'll get off the air here, is after this Prop 50 thing supposedly passed in California, we have this one guy, and I didn't write his name down, but I mean, as soon as that passed, he's all over the television doing all these adverts about running for, like, Doug LaMalfa's seat, basically.
It's the new District 2.
Yeah.
Or the new District 1.
Yeah.
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 And I was just like, man, they didn't really waste any time, did they? It's like they had this all worked out.
Oh, you think? Yeah.
He might be an easy target, though, because there's a lot of people that are on the Republican side that only vote for Doug Malfa because he's the only one they can vote for. He's the only Republican, and I think that, you know, now with the new district, it's going to be a lot different. I mean, the way it looks right now with Prop 50 passing is that California will lose five seats to that are now Republican out of the 10 they have, out of 52 in the House of Representatives. They'll lose five, so there'll only be five Republicans left out of 52. And if you combine that with New York, you're going to have over 75 Democrats in two states that will have a lot of control in the House of Representatives out of the 50 states. So, you know, I know that Pastor Che said, well, I'm going to put forth another bill. Well, you know, again, that's great. Good luck with that. But, you know, and there also is the thing of that about the public swell. You know, we need to go to the people, the public swell. A lot of the people are betwixt and between. As Janet was saying, I mean, we have a lot of independents. We have a lot of counties like Santa Clara County. It's 83% Democrat. Santa Clara County is 84% Democrat. I mean, San Francisco County. I mean, there are a lot of counties with a lot of people. And as long as we don't have representation, a senator for every county, and we don't have smaller government but better legislation, or excuse me, more legislators to help us, but smaller government. The only way you do that is to create new states, Jimmy. It's the only way you do it.
Yeah, lack of representation.
Yes, sir.
So one more question. The Prop 50 lawsuit, I think the feds filed. How do you think that's going to work out? And well, then I can answer that
because we know Mark Moser. We've known him. He's been a friend of Shasta County for a long time. Mark Moser works for the Dillon Law Firm. He's the one who's the lead dog on this particular lawsuit. The challenge is right now is that they do have the Department of Justice that is now a co-plaintiff with the people of California and with Mark Moser's case. The problem is that Armeet Dillon had to recuse herself because she owns the Dillon Law Firm that's bringing forth the case. The thing is that they're looking for a PI, for a preliminary injunction, to at least slow this thing down to where they can get it in front of a three-judge court. So they have a motion going, but it's still only a motion. There's nothing that's been concrete yet, and I don't think that there's going to be a preliminary injunction that's going to be granted by any liberal judge. And Josephine Stanton, who is the person who is the head judge of this hearing this, is an Obama appointee. So the challenge we have is that we have liberal judges that are going to go on the liberal side. I don't see that court case going anywhere. But I could be wrong. I mean, it could get in front of the Supreme Court.
Well, it probably will go someplace, but it will not be quickly.
No, it won't be.
And
exactly.
It will not be soon enough to change the June primary.
Right.
Right, I thought that, yeah, like you said, the DOJ, the feds are going to be in on that too. So that's what I was wondering.
That's fine, but the problem, the judge still has the power. I mean, the thing is they, I think they're going to get it, or they do have it. I'm not clear yet, but I think they're going to get it in front of a three-judge court.
That's what I understood.
Yeah, so if they get it in front of the three-judge panel, that means the appellate process would be, if they showed as dilution of vote or lack of representation, the appellate process will go automatically to the Supreme Court, not to another court. It'll go to the Supreme Court. But you could have an en banc on that, and there is no time frame for a decision. That's what we run into.
And we're still waiting on the three-judge panel from June.
Yeah.
On a case.
Yeah.
I would love to get this directly from Mark Moser to find out exactly
what's going on. We can do that.
We'll get him
on the program.
Yeah, because that's important right now for California.
I mean, Mark's great what he's doing. But, oh, we have another call. Mary. Oh, we did have a call. Mary, if I just saw you were there, and now you're gone. Okay. Well, let me know if Mary called.
She just dropped.
There were some other ideas that Cheyenne had, which are great ideas, and again, they end with the word how. The voting voter ID, a voting holiday, have just like a holiday so people go vote and then they don't have to work. One day voting. He also said we need to get rid of the teachers unions. Great. How do you do that? A teacher's union is supposedly voluntary. It's not really in California. But how do you get rid of the CTA?
Well, he wants to do that because of all the terrible laws that our kids are subject to in public school. But, there are laws. You can fire anybody you want.
There
are laws.
Our legislature, our supermajority legislature. Again, he is in favor of school choice, homeschool, free market school, alternatives. Perfect. I agree with you. How are you going to do it? What are you going to do?
Exactly. And it goes back to these are laws that are on the books. You can only get rid of a law with a referendum. You've got to rescind those laws. It doesn't matter who you fire. It doesn't matter even what policy you put in, because if you have laws that have jurisdiction over the policy, then whatever policy that the governor puts forward, if you have a law that says something else, it's the law.
Right. And as governor, by your very definition, you do not change or make laws. That comes from the legislature. And even if you veto a law, they have the supermajority to override your veto. So give me some specifics. Practical questions. I want numbers. I want the readiness, timelines, coordination, plans. Tell me what you plan to do, how it's going to happen, what authority you have, what jurisdiction you have. I want specifics. I want to know that I can trust you to get it done. And I heard platitudes, I heard great ideas, I've heard them all before, there was nothing new that he said. I will say for those of you, if you are interested in the candidacy of Che An, he had three asks for the audience. Number one was to pray for California, absolutely no problem there. Number two, volunteer for his campaign. And number three, every campaign needs funds, and he needs it for the media. That's where campaigns are carried out now. So if you are interested in the campaign of Che An, there is a website which would probably be the easiest thing for you to go to, and it's cheforcalifornia.com, and that is C-H-E, numeral 4, CA.com. Again, C-H-E, numeral 4, CA.com. Cheforca.com.
You know, in the alienation of some people definitely, especially when you look at the wide variety of people in the state of California, of, a lot of things he stated were he wanted evangelical Christians, you know, that he was going to appoint. He was looking at it in that vein. It's not having any heartburn with that, but guess what? There's a lot of population that may not be evangelical Christians. And I know even with some of the churches here in town, you have churches like Pathway. I think Pathway is still with Christian Missionary Alliance, I think. And you have, Valley Christian, and you've got, I think there's some association with some of these churches, the Calvary Chapel, all that good stuff, Little Country Church, for example. And then you have Bethel. There's even that, those choices people have, in different ways of really presenting God's Word, or at least the, what they believe is the, procedure in how to follow God's Word. And what it means there isn't an agreement among the churches. So when you even have that, I think that a program, like Janet was saying, to the general public, things to the general public with solution, not just with, this is what I want, or this is what we need to do, or this is how bad it is, et cetera. Those solutions have to be done the minute you open your mouth and you start on the campaign trail.
You can certainly base your campaign on your faith and your religion
100%.
And your devotion and duty to God, but you have to reach beyond those people who agree on that aspect. You have to have solid solutions, solid ground on which you are going to change the state. Where was it? Oh, another interesting idea that was put forth, how to attract young people to our party. Thank you, Charlie Kirk, with your TPUSA, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. you have brought that to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And Che An is campaigning at colleges and universities to try to bring young people into the fold of ideas for changing our government and our faith-based government, mm-hmm. which is what he's after. They're targeting campuses, which is a new idea. And again, thank you, Charlie Kirk. Mm-hmm. You showed that that's possible. There was one thing that made my skin crawl that he said. He was talking about prisoners and prisons and reform, and he was talking about female prisoners in general and a program in which the children would be with their mothers in prison.
What?
I
must have missed that.
Yeah. It was right after the treatment of prisoners.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because he was saying there were programs in which that has shown to be successful. I would want more detail on that.
Where do they go to school? They homeschool?
I guess they have schools in prison. I'm not sure of the age of the children.
Wow.
Perhaps infants, but
I got to get clarity on that.
Yeah.
We need to get clarity
yes,
on that.
Yes, that was a big question for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
We need to get clarity on that because that doesn't seem quite right. But I think that overall, you know, we're not going to find the perfect candidate, but we have to have candidates that are informed are going to go after solutions. And
let's face it, the Democrats don't have a perfect candidate either.
Ever.
So why do they keep winning? Is it just because the voters are stupid and look for the D because that's the only letter of the alphabet they know and just vote accordingly? I don't know.
I can't really tell what the name says. You spell
Rita?
Okay. R-E-E-D-A. Okay, you have about 1 minute.
That's
Rita?
The phonetic spelling, but.
Okay. Hello?
Yes. That's R-I-T-A, by the way. I just wanted to tell you, you did a great job on this program today. We put time aside to actually listen to him. We had heard Pastor Shehong yesterday on Freedom in Action, and so when you were on and said he was going to be on today, full hour, we purposely wanted to listen to him. We don't even live in Redding anymore. We're residents of 40 years, and now we're in the San Diego area. Anyway, I think by him not being on actually was better because you opened up all kinds of questions that were really made us think. I mean, this was I just want to say an excellent job. He would benefit by listening to your program because of the remarks you made. It was the constructive, I don't want to call it criticism, just the constructive remarks you made, you know, questioning what he would do. And I just think you did a great job and want to let you know we actually were glad he didn't show up. Your show fixed it.
Thank you. That was our intention, not to hammer him, but to enlighten.
And we want to encourage you that you can go to kcnr1460.com, which you're probably we're listening to right now, and you can go to that.
Yes.
Go to programming, go to Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E, Jefferson State of Mind. Once you hit that programming, this show will be archived about 5 minutes after we're done. So by about 10 after 10, you can take the archive. Please share that with everybody and anybody you can. And thank you for listening to our program.
And also, I just want to let you know that we are great supporters of Carl DeMaio and Reform California.
Ah.
As are we.
Down here in San Diego, yeah. Because, he's great.
And he has spoken in Redding, too.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Anyway.
Good. That was our goal for today.
It was.
It is to inform and enlighten, not to be negative.
Yes. But anyway, time has come.
4:51, and I would love to get it done.
Me too. Make sure you share this program. Go to the archive. Share the program. Hasta luego.
Or goodbye.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.